Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to a new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In today's extra special episode, we welcome in Brendan Savage. Brendan is from Bellingen, the mid-north coast of Australia. And Brendan, and I'm going to call him Sav, we'll speak about that, Sav, as he's known within the first Heroic Husbands men's circles that kicked off about 4 months ago. Sav has taken to this work like a duck to water. He's been attacking deep inner work, really just bringing about a sensational and beautiful marriage transformation. He's in this special series as one of our marriage transformation heroes. Sav is married with his queen and has two girls. And yeah, I just cannot wait to jump into this conversation. Sav, you're so welcome to come on the show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Mark. I really appreciate the invite. It's a real honor, to be honest, to be asked to come on, and quite a surprise.
Yeah, man. It's I want to honor yourself, Sav, for, you know, for saying a hell yes to this, because, you know, for guys listening in, you know, Sav and the other powerful guys that are in Heroic Husbands men's circles, I mean, we go places. Like, I bring the guys places, and like, it's just a really deeply intimate, open-hearted sharing where everything, like, there's no censorship of anything that needs to be said, what has to be experienced. And that's why it's so potent and transformational. Yet that's a container that has confidentiality, like, really, just for obvious reasons, it's duct tape. But here I want to honor you, Sav, for coming on, because, you know, podcast is going live, it's going public. And did you ever imagine, Sav, you know, 4 months ago when you had that first call with me, that, you know, 4 months in, you'd be on the podcast?
it's a joke, really. Like, I wasn't even used to listening to my own voice on a video call, let alone speaking on a podcast. It's mind-blowing, to be honest.
The second honoring, and I really want to get this in, because I don't know if your beautiful queen is going to be listening in, but it's within the context here. I really want to express profound gratitude to your queen. And again, it's just coming from this context within, you know, Be the Husband She Brags About and Heroic Husbands men's circles, the culture that we're creating. It's the profound love and power, strength, and support that our queens are. But I really want to explicitly express that, if your queen is listening in, a direct thank you to you for supporting Sav, and, you know, giving the go ahead to your powerful king to come on and share about your sacred marriage. And within that context, Sav, you know, we're going to be talking, and I'm not saying this for you, I'm saying this for guys listening in. The context that we're going to be speaking to is in intimate relationship. It's 100%, 100%. It's not 50-50, because, you know, when you speak about 50-50, psychologically, it's always 49-51, you know, in your favor. And it's never 49-51. It's going to be like, yeah, 20% sort of I'm responsible, but there's this, like, it's easier to blame the other for the majority. It's 100%, 100%. And in this conversation, we're talking about your 100%, Sav, your queen. And for guys listening in, it's like, why we don't talk to it. It's like, yeah, you know, do our queens, do they have their responsibility? Of course they do. Do they have their wounds? Do they have their blind spots? Do they have things that they could, should, would, you know, would do that might make the relationship a nudge better? Of course, we don't deny that. But within this movement, we talk about kingship, and that is exclusively focusing 100% of our energy on, you know, our thoughts, our ways of speaking, our ways of behaving in relationships. So it's building in safety also for your queen. But that's the paradigm we're going to be coming at, guys, unapologetically. Sav, take us back to, you know, pre coming to the podcast, listening in, pre the first call with me, and then, you know, of course, before getting into the culture and doing profound inner work within Heroic Husbands men's circles. Take us into the world of Sav in relationship, in marriage, you know, before doing any of this work. So the love is there, the beautiful intentions are there, yet all was not perfect, you know, like every single man listening in, all was not perfect. And that's okay. But take us into that, Sav, and how you were experiencing marriage and what were the main struggles for you before coming to the work?
Yeah, well, that's a big question, I suppose. I've been with Delphi for 16 years now, and there's always been a huge love there that's kind of been unshakable. And then through the space of the years, children, marriage, all the different things, I guess the challenges that arose for me were the big ones were communication, you know, my inability to even express what I felt or even know what I felt to start with, and then to find the right words or, you know, use the right container to actually express them, you know, like my levels of presence up until joining the Heroic Husbands, like, were just not there. And that's where all of my problems I can see were stemming from, was just inability to be present in that space, and then a lacking of tools, you know. And then I guess I had a lot of codependency, you know, my emotions were very reliant on the energy in the house, how everyone else was feeling, carrying kind of a nice guy persona, you know, like always trying to make sure everyone's okay. And then almost like, I call it my backpack analogy, like where if there was an issue or there was something that needed doing, I'd just take it on. Or if, you know, if there was something I could make easier for someone else, I'd just take it on. And I'd just keep loading up my backpack until, you know, I guess you're so weighted down that there's no way that you can actually give much of yourself to anyone that's around you. And yeah, I guess it kind of comes back to, like, I've always had a real desire to dig into myself and my inner world. And then realizing coming to this work, like how many, I guess the language that I've learned through here and through Mark, you know, the protective pathways, the protective patternings that were there that were really preventing me to have any kind of deep connection. You know, like I was great at ticking boxes, you know, I was a great husband from the outside. And a lot of my stories revolved around that too, you know, like I wanted to blame Delphi, my wife, for all of it. Like I was like, I'm doing my part, what's going on? And then not taking that extreme ownership, not even understanding the 100% to 100%. And I guess that has been the biggest key for me, is the presence and the 100%. I'll throw it back to you, Mark, because I've probably rambled in a bit there.
No, there's no rambling at all. This is you think of this as rambling. Can you imagine if spontaneously Mark was walking down the street in Bellingen like 6 months ago and went, "Hey, Mr. Savage, would you like to do a spontaneous interview about your marriage, Leo?" how much rambling would that Sav have done? And I know myself before coming to this work is like, oh man. it's beautifully and very eloquently put. By the way, I'm going to be formally like robbing your backpack analogy in my work going forward. That's fucking awesome.
I'd love you to. I'd love you to put your artistic poetry in there, because I definitely haven't got it.
No, that's wicked. I think every single guy listening in can get that analogy straight away. Just like that nice guy, you know, ticking the boxes, doing as many chores, showing up, doing as much stuff, I think is that thing that we try to do. I definitely resonate with that, man. Myself was fuck. My backpack was like laying down all the time, trying to take every single box. Before knowing like anything about presence and the emotional tools, etc., how to deal with communication and meet my queen's needs, just do more. do more. And like, why are you still complaining? I'm, look at all the stuff I'm doing. Like, I'm from first thing in the morning till late at night, I'm doing. And like, why are you still having an issue with me? And I really profoundly get that. Sav, I'm curious to know more. You know, you've with this work, you've honed in that when you look back at, you know, before entering this space to do such work, that it was your inability to be present. Could you take us a step deeper as to what you're meaning by that? Like, what did that look like? Let's go to points of conflict, you know, where in relationship, a conflict is there's two opposing views. There's, you know, your queen, there's you. And let's talk about like a conflict where, you know, you don't have to bring a topic, or if one comes up for you, that makes it real. But it's like a real, you know, every man knows when there's those shitstorms, when like, you know, heels are digging in both sides. What does that lack of presence, you know, if you were to look at a, you know, a video monitor of you, if there was such a thing, what would guys be seeing? How did that, like, how did that show up in your nervous system in moments of conflict, the lack of presence?
I think, like, in a nutshell, obviously there's different situations, but different ones, but a lot of the time I would either be spending so much mental energy trying to make the, you know, find out what was wrong to start with, because I didn't even really have the ability to understand or communicate what was wrong. And then that would show up in my body, like all of my emotions would just show up externally. So like, if I was frustrated, I'd be sighing and I'd be looking away, I'd be agitated. If I was angry, my fists would be clenched. And then, you know, like, I wouldn't be trying to connect with her. Like, if I was feeling wrong or shame, or, you know, like if I wasn't, I guess, on top of the conflict, I wasn't the right person, I wouldn't even be able to look at Delphi. But if I did feel like I had the upper hand or something, my steely gaze would be like, you know, staring at her so intensely that, you know, it would feel like she was getting attacked. I guess, yeah, like I'd be either pacing around the room, arms crossed, looking down at the ground. And then, yeah, I guess a lot of the time, not even being able to look at Delphine when we were in extreme conflict, because I didn't know what to say. And a lot of the time I was so afraid to say anything, because when I did say something, most of the time I would say something so related to so many other conflicts, I'd bring in this like completely different view and energy and just make everything worse. And then I guess that was my coping mechanism in conflict, was most of the time I just wouldn't say much at all. And then I would just go into stonewalling. So I would virtually just go into silence. And then that could last for anywhere from hours to weeks. And it almost became down to like a competition for me. Like, even when after the conflict, my nervous system had settled and realized that energy had left and that I wasn't feeling that anger or blame or attacking kind of vibe, I would still not be able to let it go. Like, even though my nervous system had gone and gave me a shake and said, you need to apologize, like, you were wrong in that space, I still didn't have the ability to kind of let go of that stonewalling. I really had to work into it. Yeah, so I guess that's where the shame kind of played into it as well, where I would just go into, don't say anything because you'll just fucking say the wrong thing. Yeah, I've kind of lost my track there. Sorry, Mark.
It's a beautiful insight, because like that there,
in a lot of ways, that's what happens in conflict, is when I kind of get to that space of pressure, my mind does kind of, it loses its thought, train of thought. And then I guess that's where the inability to express comes from a lot of the time.
It's such a sacred part of the conversation because, you know, every guy listening in and, you know, what you're saying, I know myself for years have, it's the exceptionally painful experience to have such a love for your queen. And yet in those moments, it's like everything that's coming through your nervous system is fucking up the connection unwittingly. Like when you said about the stonewalling, my queen, she'd say it's like, oh, Jesus, not the ceiling. Because I was avoiding conversations for so many years that it was like at bedtime, on the pillow, my nervous system was like, come on, quickly, just hit the fucking pillow, you know, get to sleep. And I don't know if that has ever happened to you, Sav, but it's like the infamous like pillow time. I need to talk. You know, your queen just looks at you and is like, I need to talk, honey. I don't know. Like my nervous system was like, that was like Nightmare on Elm Street. That was just like, that was the greatest pain. And I don't say like, it's like your words take me back there. It's like, I wanted to be able to know what the fuck to say. I wanted to be able to do this emotional intimacy thing. And yet every single thing in my nervous system, like what you were saying, is like, I just couldn't bring it out. I couldn't find a connection. And then like stonewalling, just not speaking, looking the other way. My queen would say, it's like, oh, she's not the ceiling. I did it recently there where it's like the ceiling. And when I'd rub my forehead, she's like, oh dear God, I can't believe you're looking at the ceiling and you're rubbing your forehead. There were classic old signs of mine, protective patterning, where the pressure was building up inside of me. I've got to the point now where, you know, there's a lot more humor and space. She can actually point it out and laugh at it. But man, it was a real shit show for myself back then. And, there's a deep grief. There was a deep grief in the initial phase for myself, Sav. You know, when I started realizing how profound an effect my way of communicating, the message I was transmitting through, you know, what I'd now call like my lack of presence, the profoundly negative effect that was having on my queen and by extension, my kids. When you look back now, Sav, you know, with this newfound, you know, superpower that you have of empathizing, and like, can you put into words what you imagined that your queen was going through? And I say this from I think it really supports every guy listening in to hear, you know, another man powerfully and consciously empathizing with his queen. You know, can you imagine or put into words what you imagine your queen was going through in those moments when your nervous system was in heart closure, when you weren't being present, you weren't making eye contact, or you were like that attacking gaze or stonewalling, etc. And like, can you imagine what your queen was going through?
I think you've hit the nail on the head with just that feeling of grief for those times. I mean, I'm still in those times. I definitely haven't moved out of those times. I have a bit more awareness around it, but it was just so disconnecting. I can just, I look back on those moments and I can just see so much pain for Delphi and confusion too. Like, just not really understanding me and how I'm reacting. And then, yeah, now looking back, it makes me really sad and kind of want to remember it, because that's giving me the drive to keep pushing into the uncomfortable spaces that I'm in now, because that's what's bringing such huge change to my relationship. As you know, in the last few months, just the level of depth and understanding I've been able to reach within conversations, and to be able to hold that space without letting my triggers take me away, without, like, they're still going off, they're still rattling me, but being able to sit in that space and create a safety for Del and let her express so much of that that she was never able to express has just been so amazing to experience. And then in gaining that entry into her inner world at that level, it just makes me understand everything that we were going through. And if I had to be able to hold that space and support her the way I could have, if I had have been present, if I had have had a lot of these tools that they, you know, they are in me, all of it's there, but they are literally just a rationalized tool and then an understanding of the how to use it, which I guess so much of this stuff I've come into contact with many years of looking into, you know, different podcasts and different kind of ideas and books, all of it I can intellectualize and all of it sounds amazing. But until I entered into this space with other men that were holding me accountable and actually being honest with myself, am I able to embody and understand any of that knowledge? Like, so much of the stuff I've intellectualized for years meant nothing in that time. And now all of it's coming in layers of, like, whoa, just a real understanding within my body.
That speaks to one of the most important reasons for me to, like, the division of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles is to have 100,000 men, powerful husbands, in those spaces in the next four and a half years. And it's that thing, you know, it's like so many men, I know myself, Sav, as well, like for years listening to podcasts, reading books, for years I was listening to tons of David Aida, The Way of the Superior Man. It was like my initial protocol, and still is in many ways, amazing stuff. So it's like planting seeds of potential. Yet it wasn't until men's work, I really totally get that. It's like that I ascended from my head and into my heart, into my gut, into my body. So I love that you're drawing that distinction between intellectualizing information. Because so many guys listening in can be listening to this podcast, can be reading books, can be, you know, listening to other stuff, or there's tons, like, we're in this such a beautiful age of information, where you have expert advice from 5-minute clips to like full hour ones for free, just it's a click away. But it's to break free that intellectualizing that and actually embodying it and knowing how to embody that wisdom, it's a completely different thing. Sav, could you speak to, I would definitely want to know more about, you know, the Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, the emotional work, you know, what your experience has been of that. Yet one part of the jigsaw that I feel most guys listening in are going to really want to know about vicariously is, you know, it's that perspective of the lead up before joining. What was it like for you to reach out, to make that initial call with me? And I suppose what I'm looking for explicitly, like, what were your unspoken fears with that? Like, were you aware at the time of those fears? Were there fears? I might be making an assumption. What was your inner process in, you're listening to the podcast, you realize there's an opportunity there to book a call with a potential of joining a men's circles. What was that inner process like for you? What were the feelings that were coming up? Where were your thoughts, your thinking processes at in the lead up to that, to making that call?
Well, to be honest, Mark, I think I found your podcast via another podcast, and I've listened to a few other men and other in the same area, and I've never heard anyone speak with such humility and honesty. And everything that you were speaking to was like you were painting a picture of my internal world. So I think when the opportunity came up to jump on a call with you, I guess I was hesitant because I didn't know what it meant to become part of a group, and there was a bit of fear around that, I suppose. But I don't think I had a lot of fear, because just listening to you, I wanted to know more. I wanted to touch base with you and I guess see the face behind the podcast, because it's you know, from this side of the world, you know, you sort of, there's a little bit of awe, you know, looking at someone who's creating a movement and speaking so eloquently about topics that are, you know, hugely complex for my expression, I suppose. So yeah, jumping on the call with you, I think I was ready. And I think, I don't know if you remember our call, but I think I was pretty well, I was in straight away after that call, because it confirmed everything that I wanted to know about it. It was just the brutal honesty of it. No one had ever pushed me to be so honest with myself. It's so easy to sit in my own mind and pretend certain things and never really admit certain things, or admit the place I was actually in my marriage, you know, like I was still in the space of the good marriage, you know, like we had a few times of being very close to the edge, but I think internally I always knew that depth of love was there, but just the inability to scratch it, I suppose, to get to it. And this just, I kind of knew was my step. And I guess it's like a lot of things in life where they show up at the right time. And when I started listening to you, and then when the call came on and the circle started, that was the right time for me.
Yeah, thanks, Sav, for that. And thank you for I'm open-heartedly receiving your acknowledgments. I'm just really, it gives me a profound sense of satisfaction to hear your words about, you know, how in your experience I'm coming across, because that humility, it's absolutely essential. We speak within Heroic Husbands, for guys listening in, we speak with, there's two counterbalancing things. Well, I'd speak to him was like counterbalancing kingly confidence with heroic humility, and the humility part is massive. You know, it's just to have a no bullshit, uncensored realization and willingness to call yourself out where you're at, where you're not at, and then build your confidence with time. The badass shit that you are doing, you know, what you bring to it. So thank you for your words. You spoke that the call with me. You know, I suppose you had a relationship in senses. You trusted me coming in. Was there unspoken about, you know, the group? You know, what was that experience for you like joining the group and to over communicate with you, Sav? Because I know you're like you came to it like really from the off. It was quite amazing. You know, that level of intentionality that you brought. I speak to it because I know for myself, you know, when I came to men's work, if I look back, raw necessity, maybe like yourself, raw necessity just landed me in. But when I look back now, I realize I actually had really profound fears of opening my heart, opening my soul, you know, opening up my truth. If I had fears in front of my queen, boy, like, you know, just getting into a room, you know, be a Zoom, a sacred digital space, room of other guys, I look back and I realize how much protective patterning actually causing the deepest emotional issues for me in life was my fear of other men, my fear of opening up with other men, of, you know, being real. The base fear for me was, you know, just being vulnerable, showing, oh, I have a weakness on this. I had sort of inherently growing up associated opening up and being vulnerable as being, you're going to be perceived as weak, you're going to be shut down. What was your sort of the tapestry of your life, your life's experience growing up as being a young boy, Australian culture, you know, your relationship with your dad, your relationship with masculinity, with other men? What sort of protective patterns had you in your nervous system entering into this very unique space where it's like the flip side is true? It's like you go there, you share everything. You don't hold anything back. And if you do hold anything back, you know, you're going to get feedback to let you know, dude, you're holding back. What was that transition like from, you know, the conditioning of your past relationship with men to this new way of relating with men?
that's such a good question, because coming into, like, if I think of the first meeting that I came to, the fear that I held in expressing anything in that space, and obviously that stems from expressing anything in general life with any other men, and through the period, the course of what we have been doing, the layers that have been removed from me have been phenomenal. You know, like growing up in Australian culture, like there's definite, my upbringing was boys don't cry, you know, boys are tough, you don't have emotions. And, you know, my father was an amazing man and he loved me deeply, but his ability to express that was conditioned from his father, and he wouldn't have said, I love you. You know, he would have done many things that I know he loved me, but that ability to express anything was definitely a lineage in my family. And then coming into a space, I think the thing that actually got me into this space particularly was more the anonymity of it. You know, being men all over the world that I don't know and are not a part of my inner circle or friends or family, it was kind of a little bit of a freedom in there that I was allowed to express things that I would never say to, even I guess admit to myself, because these men were not in my direct life. You know, the men that are in there now, like the relationships I have with them are just, they're deeper than just about all of my relationships I have in my life now. But the beautiful thing of that is that I've just felt the layers being removed from being in that group and having these men that are expressing and giving me a space to express certain things. And just about every time I've expressed something that I've had utter fear around, like not able to utter the words because of so much fear of how people will perceive it, understand it, and judge me or judge myself. But they're holding a space there that I can express into. I've kind of lost my train of thought there. I had something I was trying to express.
No, you're absolutely fine. I've been on quite a few podcasts at this point, to share it with you, Sav. I was on one recently where, and I really hope I listened to the recording. I think the gap in when I went quiet to when I started speaking again, it was on the Rising Man podcast, which is for me personally, it was like, oh wow, you know, it's like, okay, I have my podcast here. This is, you know, relatively my comfort zone. It's my setup, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I went on to the Rising Man podcast, and at one point I was midway, and it was like you there now. I had like this bomber of a point. It's like my brain went, boom, I'm going to roast this. And I was like midway through. And I swear to you, it's like bump and rum. It's like, I'm here, I am. I'm like Jordan Peterson. I'm truth bombing. And then mid-sentence, I don't know what the fuck happened, man. It's like tumbleweed. My brain just went from, like, I'm the most inspirational orator on the planet to, La 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 la. My head was just like.
Well, you've just painted the picture of my brain right now.
So I'm meeting you there. I was fucking. I'm laughing about it now. I was sweating. It's like I just like my hands went into a sweat. There was this sort of like, dude, it's gone. Like I mean, like the commentary in my head was, okay, this feels like Jetty's been waiting, and by extension, people listening in have been waiting like. Is it 1 minute or is it 2 minutes? Clearly, it wasn't that much time. But I don't know what the hell. Finally, you know, I just waited it out. I breathed. I just remained present. A couple of deep breaths. And miraculously, one euron at the back of my head goes, dude, you know, I've got to try it here. You know, this is what you were speaking about. So yeah, I'm just letting just to let you know. It's like I'm so used to doing this, but man, that moment. It was absolutely, it's hilarious looking back. I was in a fucking like intense sweat at the time. So, this is your first podcast, dude. And it's like this, you know how we roll in Heroic Usman's men's circle, Sav. It's like, I say this and I say this to guys. I said it recently, actually. I don't know. Did you listen to that, to my episode there last week where I had two massive sneezes that I never edited out of the episode.
Yeah, I did listen to that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh man, I had two fucking whoppers of sneezes that came through. But it's this sort of a part, like it's just to be fucking okay with it. Like the human experience, you know, the level of pressure. Again, that sort of, you're meant to be perfect. You're not meant to be mid podcast and like your head go blank. You know, there's a facade, there's a persona. It's like, how will I come across? To guys listening in, Sav would be very used to it. And I love, Sav, just how you spoke to that. I think you did, you navigated that more eloquently than I did on the Rising Man podcast. I just left Jetty fucking silent for for 6 or 7 seconds. But it's this practice as men to go, I'm having a human experience. If my mind goes blank, my mind goes fucking blank. That's okay. If like my experience last week, Sav, 160 guys listened to that episode where I ruptured their eardrums with my massive sneezes. I'm like, I burst out laughing with my queen. I did re-edit because, hey, you know, just when you have it available to you. But it's a really key thing. Just what this part of the experience in this conversation, we're not talking about marriage, but like this capacity, what yourself and myself are doing right now, we're just two guys owning the humanness of the human experience. You lost your train of thought. Well, that's a fucking okay with me, man. But we don't feel that's okay. We've grown up in a society where we feel we're going to be hammered, you know, at any given mistake or at any given turn. Yeah, for me, that's one of the great tragedies. I don't know. Do you relate with that? Just this fear 100%. Of making a mistake.
And that, you know, like the, even just the ability to then get back into present state, you know, like that would normally rattle me. Like if that happened in any kind of public setting, you know, like you say, you get sweaty, you get anxious, you get, you know, you start to go into a state of not returning, but you know, just speaking to it like you spoke it to it, my nervous system's calmed down and that thread's kind of come back a bit. And, you know, like where I was heading with that was that the layers that have been removed within the group, the Heroic Husbands men's circle group, is creating ripples everywhere in my life. You know, it's opening up conversations with my father in emotion, you know, stuff that I just would never even been able to enter into. And you know, and that's the beauty, even within my close men's, my friends that I've got that are close, the men that I have that are my close friends, you know, that I'm now opening up conversations in there that I never would have with such an ease and comfort and confidence that I haven't known my whole life. And it all comes to that same thing of being afraid of what people would think of me, or being afraid of you know, being authentic, but not being perfect.
I'm so curious, how has that been received by the men on the ground in your life? This new, you know, open-hearted, authentic expression coming through you.
Well, it's definitely just deepened the conversations and the connections that we have. You know, it's accepted, and they want to go there. As soon as I open up and I lead with vulnerability, the acceptance of that conversation is not just led by me, it's led by all in there, you know, like it's like a deep inner desire for us all. But until, like, someone like you, Mark, who leads this space and creates that safety, can the conversation start to happen. I guess in the one area that I'm really kind of trying to push into but still not knowing is that relationship with my father. Because he's got so many protective patterns there, you know, like some of our conversations are built around feeling emotions or even having emotions. And, you know, like his initial response is, I don't have any emotions. But then, you know, you tap in a little bit deeper to a conversation and they're so close to the surface, but they're so locked off that there's tears in his eyes, but he can't even go there, you know, like the depth of that resistance and fear is so strong. And that's definitely what's been live with me in my marriage for so long, is that kind of just wanting to hold it in, not being able to share it because it's wrong and no one else has any of those feelings. No one else has any of those feelings. And I think that's been the big joke about the whole thing for me, is like everything that I've lone wolfed and thought that no one else would experience, every single man in the room has their hand up going, me too.
It is the brain fuck though, isn't it? It's like
it's
the polar opposite reality. I so get your, you know, your beautiful sharings there about your relationship with your dad and the exact same thing. I had when you come to men's work, it's all father-son relationship, in many senses. That's the core masculine wound to be healed. And in many senses, like, this is really important, you know, guys listening in, is to over communicate a lot of our protective pathways as men. As Sav is saying, it's like if the father-son relationship dynamic is lock up those emotions, boys don't cry, you know, just I don't have emotions. If that's the emotional heritage that you inheritance that you have, sort of like we'll do whatever we can as men to honor our dad. There's this sort of a subconscious driving in us. But if that's what has been modeled, father to son, you know, any wonder that we end up having issues in marriage, in opening up, when we've sort of inherently learned it's wrong to open up. But to share with you, Sav, recently, you know, I was practicing as a physiotherapist. The rest of the world, I think, is physical therapist, but, you know, doing my job. And if you want to say it was like physiotherapy, definitely in Ireland, it's one of the, you know, it's one of the well-known and accepted professions. It's sort of like physiotherapy. Oh, you know, even when I was studying it, it was like, there's this air of, oh, he's doing physiotherapy, like dentistry or medicine or stuff or law. So it's like, I had this ticks the box, you know, it's like my dad, this is a very easy way to gain access to respect, you know, which for me, I look back and it's like, it was deeply meaningful. It was like, wow, you know, it's like, cool, I'm doing this job that, you know, can earn money, but it also gets back, and I can give words to it now. It's taking the box off, you know, my dad sees me, you know, I'm a man to be reckoned with. I'm not little Mark anymore. You know, I've arrived, I've got this job in the community, you know, people come to me for support, et cetera, et cetera. So my dad sort of dug it. But then clearly that was not for me. I had a much deeper soul purpose in the world that it took many years to iterate it, but it came to be the husband she brags about in Heroic Husband's Men's Circle. So if you want to say Heroic Husband's Men's Circle is like at the pinnacle, you know, at this point of my living on purpose. But I've never had the respect or the honoring from my father. So there is this like inner child part of me that's like, you know, there's a yearning there. I know it's there. But recently, Sav, like I'm talking about, I don't know, was it like a couple of months ago? It just spontaneously happened. My dad just went to me in conversation. He's like, you know, Mark, I've never really understood what work you do. Like, can you just help me out here? Like, I don't even know what it is that you do. You know, clearly, you know, you enjoy doing it, but what is it that you do, son? Sav, I'm like, okay, so there's the conscious me, you know, adult me, and then there's the inner child. And it's like both of them are stunned into silence. It's like you have your moment, you know. It's like, fuck, dad is finally actually trying to understand what it is you're doing, like this core purpose you're aligning your whole life behind it, etc., etc. So Sav, I just opened up to my dad. It was like, well, Dad, you know, it's like, I forget the exact words, but it was along the lines of, well, Dad, I'm actually working with men and in marriage, and, you know, I've overcome a lot of stuff in my own marriage, and, you know, just putting that to good use. And we do these things called those online men's circles. And again, he led was like, oh, well, what do you do in there? It's like, I think it was one sentence into my explanation, Sav, when I mentioned, it's like, oh, well, you know, guys will speak about the unspoken, you know, about issues they're having, challenges they're having, and like, you know, any emotions that they're having. Sav, the comment was this. It's like, oh, emotions, fucking bullshit. And I, yeah, like, I say it laughing now. Like, I say it laughing. There's the conscious part of me, the 40-year-old me doing men's work. I can acknowledge that. I can accept, surrender. You know, that's where he's at.
Mm.
But boy, there's like a grief there as well, where, wow, fucking wow. You know, like, that's what I inherited emotion-wise, that emotions are bullshit. You just don't fucking go there as a man. So it's like funny and yet tragic at the exact same time. So yeah, it's just, it's a spontaneous story, Sav. I wanted to share with you and the guys listening in. And because I think it can't be spoken enough that our relationships with our dads really set our relationships with our emotions, and it's a relationship with our emotions that determines the quality and depth or radical lack of that then unfolds in marriage. Is that fair enough to say in your experience, Sav?
Oh, 100%. That's where I got my modeling from, you know, the main men that I saw in my life, and then the way I was expected to behave as well. And the, like you were saying, that acceptance of them for where they're at and a love for him for where he's at. But yeah, I had a very similar conversation with him too, where the comment was that I just want to talk about normal stuff, the weather. I don't want to talk about emotions. And there's a grief there for me too, of like wanting to have a father that you could go to ask those questions, that's going to give you some wisdom to help in your relationship. And then the reality that that's not going to be his role in my life. There's definitely a grief there. And then looking into how I've related to Delphine, like, I feel there's a definite kind of upskilling in being able to express myself, but still falling back to that patterning whenever the pressure became high, you know, like whenever we were in conflict, I would go into shut off. And then if I was asked how I was feeling, I would have an inability to even express it because I didn't want to know how I was feeling, I suppose. I didn't want to understand that emotion because that emotion was wrong. I didn't want to know that I was feeling shame or guilt or anxiety or fear or, you know, whatever it is. Even my vocabulary now is so small when it comes to my emotional understanding. But yeah, like that's totally shown up in my relationship, especially in the last 5 years, you know, when I've gone, you know, like I've gone deeper into intimacy and added kids and those kind of things into my life, the patternings around expressing those things have definitely gotten stronger.
And Sav, yeah, thank you for sharing the link with your dad. And just around that grief, I think I absolutely believe, you know, every guy listening in can relate in some way, shape, or form of, you know, just that childlike desire that even though we're men, and again, it's like, oh, we're men, you know, like at some point in society by this societal story, we're just made a fucking man up. You know, it's like, you know, a man should have his shit sorted, but there's these unspoken needs of just this deep desire to have your dad. Of course, that's like the dream, like part where if each of our dads could just go, hey son, I remember bursting into tears in one men's circle. It was like one of the most profound shares I had in my experience in men's circles, where I had a lot of rage with my dad about a certain memory going back years and years. But you know, as I unpacked all of this rage and anger, and I released that from my inner world experience, this massive ocean of love came up inside of me. And the guy that was facilitating, it was like, okay, well, what do you want? You know, what would you most want to hear from your dad? And it's like, it really is like goosebumps now as I say it again. It's, you're doing good, kid. I just, every single part of me wanted, you know, and it was like a desire that, it's sort of like a desire that was live back then. It was like, you know, I was talking about, you know, an experience I had when I was 13 or 14, or no, I could have been younger, actually. It's probably 10. But it was a desire that's what he would say to me in my childhood. You know, it's like, touch base with me and go, you're doing good, kid. You know, it's like, what you're doing at school, what you're doing at sport, you're doing good, kid. I see you. Ultimately, it's like, I see you. And, you know, it's the exact same thing of what I was sharing there just, you know, a couple of months ago. It's like, you know, what do you do? What's your work? I was like, oh, fucking emotions. That's bullshit. You know, you're just unwittingly saying that my work is bullshit. But it's like, there's this desire that's omnipresent of, you're doing good, kid. You know, I'm proud of you. You're like, I'm seeing who you're becoming as a man. That without that, it's like there can be some lack. But I suppose, Sav, and my relationship with men's work, I'm curious for your inner world experience as a man. You know, how complete is that need being met? It's like the desire will always be that our dads could, you know, if that could happen, that would be a miracle that we'd, you know, we'd open our hearts up to more than any other man on the planet. But how much is that need being met by the powerful men that are in the group, where, you know, they've got your back, you can share whatever, you can celebrate whatever, you're going to be safe, you can open up and say, hey, you know, your failings, your weaknesses, or your perceived weaknesses, your fears, etc., you're going to be loved and accepted no matter what. How much is that need being met with your men's group, and what has that meant to you as a man?
Yeah, that space, the support that's in that space, is something that I've never experienced. You know, it's almost a redefinition of relationship for me. It's a complete overhaul in my nervous system of what it means to be in relationship with some men. You know, the safety that's in there and the culture that's created and the freedom that comes from that ability to be a part of, not only share, but to be witness to share other men sharing and to offer support is probably one of the greatest things I get from it too. And then the learnings that I get from other men sharing is just unlocking stuff for me that's so deep. I can't express how different it is from any relationship that I've ever been in that, you know, that space is, it's transformational. I mean, it's a probably an overused word, but it is totally in that space.
And Sav, writing off that, you know, it's transformational. Help me and help every man listening in get some tangible meaning to transformational. So you've been within Heroic Husbands Men circles, you know, the last 4 months, meeting up 3 times per month, super intense. We do what we do, all shadow work and shares. And then there's these amazing friendships that you're building outside of that, and the sharing and the challenging and the accountability. But what has the change been? You know, who is the Sav that now shows up in relationship, in intimacy? What are the felt differences that you've been noticing within your capacity to communicate in the arena of intimacy, around the house, in your energy? And maybe important on top of that is, like, what's your queen noticing as well? Like, can you just describe what the transformation means in like in a practical sense on a day-to-day in the arena basis?
I feel like it's such an evolving thing. Like every week there's another layer stripped and maybe another armor put on, you know, like I'm just got an ability to hold space in conflict and in joyful times, and the actually understanding of my presence and being so much more aware of it when I'm dropping out of presence and into heart closure. And then I think the biggest thing that Delphi would probably bring to the table for me would be my ability to repair and come back to being open-hearted. The time that I take when I do go into it, and to when I now come back and have a solid ability to own it, you know, like that, speaking to it in the moment, and kind of the communication that we use, one of the communication, the own curious truth, has just been liberating for me. Because when I'd go into any kind of pressured situation, conflict, I would just want to, that first initial, whatever the surge was, that's what I would vomit. I would vomit that out, and it would stick to the walls, and it would just be horrendous, you know, like whatever came out was not truth. It was just a mess of emotions that I'd been dragging around in my backpack for months and months, and I just vomited out, and that was it. Whereas now that comes up still, but I'm able to sit with it and unpack it. And then I get curious with Del, and I'll get more perspective. I'll get more understanding. And then when I'm in a space of calm, of presence, and the ability to share my truth from a place of love, not a place of anger or attacking, you know, none of that ever stuck. It just pushed her away. Whereas now I feel like she can say everything she needs to say to me, and I've got that, my fingers off the trigger. Like I've taken the bullets out of the gun now in our, like, obviously I'm still in that space. Like I'm still experiencing all of those things, and I'm not going to get it right every time, but that's been the transformation for us, is being able to go into that conflict and come out closer than we were before.
Oh man, that's massive. I love just that, well, everything of what you're saying, but it's like to go into conflict and come out closer than ever before. That's such an eloquent summary just there. And I strike home with myself and my queen and every guy that I'm working with. It's like, it's almost like that's the pinnacle. When you can turn that corner, then marriage is an infinite game. Whereas previous, you know, when you're talking about previous, you know, your comeback was hours or weeks earlier on in the conversation where you're like, you know, the stonewalling and myself. And I firmly believe hand and heart from what I've heard guys saying one-on-one in men's groups is like every guy is there. It's like, you know, a stinging argument. There's no turnaround in a way. It's like hours or weeks, but like that just remains. The seed of that conflict comes out. Could be months later, could be fucking 2 years later. And it's like, oh, do you remember that time? I mean, it doesn't go away. Whereas now you're saying it's like you enter a conflict and you come out closer. I mean, it's phenomenal. Can you give a little bit, I'm curious about your words on it, and this is not me putting you under pressure with the own curious and truth. I'd love to know your words of like, what you're meaning in using that, just so guys can get own curious truth, guys, super quick. It's like the building blocks of communication that I use with one-on-one clients and with guys in Heroic Husbands men circles. Can you take me a bit deeper into your usage of that, where you're in heart closure, the old patterns are there, they're gripping in, you know, and it's important, again, the practice guys listening in is like, the whole thing is to be okay, to be fine with where you're at. It's not to be in a perfect state of presence is not like some thoughtless, emotionless state. It's to be with whatever chaotic thoughts are in yourself and emotions in yourself and still be fine and move forward with it. What's your usage of that? So it's like, take guys into that arena. So you're accepting, you're not perfect, Sav. You've been doing this work for months, but you know, your queen says something happens, boom, protective patterns pretend to take you over. You can feel the heart closure. You can feel it's all tightening up. The thoughts are going to blame or shame, whatever. And then you like, it's go time. What take us into the details of what happens to you now, how you catch the heart closure and then implement these three phases.
I guess my previous response would have been when I was feeling that closure come on, the anger, the blame, I would just shut off. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to express into that space because I knew I was dangerous. I knew I was going to be toxic. Whereas now, well, it's still, like you say, I've only been in it for a short time. So it's, now I try to acknowledge that that's coming on, and instead of running away from it, I'll try and speak it to Del. Like I'll try and speak it in a way of like, I'm feeling disconnected or I'm feeling quite triggered, and I'll try and express that it's not you. I can feel that it's coming from inside me, and I'm still trying to understand it. But just speaking that is like taking the bullets out of the gun. You know, like I can feel Delphine relax and is okay. And then I can relax and I can accept that I'm feeling that way, and I can feel that pressure or that anger or whatever it is. But then I can say, I really want to connect and I want to understand this a bit more. And I'll try and get some perspective from Delphine so I can kind of help. Give myself time, I suppose, you know, like instead of just rushing into it, I've kind of slowed it down, given myself some space, and then I'm getting curious about the other side, Delphi's side. And then once I understand it fully, and most of the time, I don't even need to get to truth, because most of the time, the truth is spoken from Delphi and it's come out inside me. And like, instead of that explosion that would have happened to start with, which would have just created, you know, the snowball effect, and it just would have gotten worse and worse and worse. Now I'm gaining an ability to feel it, express that I'm feeling something, own it, that it's me, not her, and then actually move into that conflict rather than away from it. And then in that space, yeah, however it kind of comes up, I suppose that kind of comes up multiple times of needing to own it, because there are often other things that then kick in throughout that conversations. And in it, you know, this, that consistency of being present with it and realizing when I am tensing up, if I am starting to fidget a bit, or if I am starting to look out the window, or just bringing myself back, just that constant practice of just bringing myself back, stop running away from it, you know, actually learn how to feel that stuff. It's probably the biggest hindrance that I have, is just the desire to run away from it and not be involved in it.
It's again speaking to that. It's like, and the words, you can hear the protective patterns coming through for you, for me, and for every man. It's like wanting to run away from it, but then, you know, you make the link back again to father son, and you go, yeah, well, I was like, in many ways, we were explicitly taught and conditioned hundreds, if not thousands of times in deeply emotional experiences as boys, when we try to open up and don't cry, you know, stop crying, you know, like man up, or like, you know, be a good boy is emotionless. Bad boy is, you know, that's just weak shit. Emotions are bullshit. So yeah, just leaning into that flame, just being able, I love hearing that, you know, you're aware of the desire, you know, the shadow desire to go away from it, but your practice is just honor what's coming through you. Sav, how has this impacted, and within this, and just, I build safety for you, like in the recording, and guys listening in, like, you're already at like 10 out of 10 intimate sharing about your inner world. So but I'm curious, within the limits of what is available to speak to, what have been the benefits of this increase of presence, this increase of being at one with your emotions, or practicing being at one with your emotions and communicating and building this trust and safe communication where your queen can open up with you and you're opening up with her, and that increase and deepening of that trust and safety in your sacred container with your queen, how has that flowed into intimate relating? I speak to this and I want to over communicate. It's like, it's one of the unspoken things, you know, guys, we just never speak about this. But I do want to build context in here live as we're speaking, man, wherever you feel comfortable to go. I think so many guys could benefit from, you know, any words you might speak in this, because it's an area of deep importance for us men, to be intimate with our queens. And so, yeah, if you could speak to that, it'd be really beautiful.
The probably the biggest thing that it has unlocked for me is that ocean of love that is there. Like, I think over the last few years, through different events and a few things that have happened, I wanted to shut it off because it was hurting too much to not feel it. And being able to create a space where I hear and understand Delphi from a level that I wasn't possible for me, has then also given me the safety to, I guess, unlock my heart back and be okay with it being open, not trying to protect it, not trying to prevent it from being hurt. And then the love that is flowing back from Delphi is just what fills me up so much. And the space that creates in our relationship for kind of pushing into old wounds and difficulties that we've faced has just been, it's given us a pathway, and it's given us a space to actually open up, which, you know, if I had have followed the trajectory that we were on, like we may have stayed together very unhappily, or we may have even separated, you know, like it was at that level multiple times where that was spoken of. But that was spoken of because I just could not even access that inner world that I needed to be able to connect with Del on the level that I wanted to, needed to, and was capable of. So yeah, I guess that it's just opened up that space for us and given me more capacity, I suppose, to love.
It's more capacity to love. I mean, it's the juice of all juice that we don't speak to as men. But you know, I'd be radically confident to speak that, you know, at the base of every man that I've spoken with, there's this unspoken desire to be love, to just be love. To, you know, it's like, and some guys, you know, will be inspired to get to the point where, hey, you know, embodying love like Jesus or Buddha, you know, spiritual, mystical embodiments of that masculine capacity to be present in love, to be a loving husband, to be like an ocean of love. How do you play that game? It's like every man, every husband wants that, you know, but it's like just knowing how to open up that and let that flow through. And high acknowledgement, Sav, and you speak to a really important point that is really dear to my heart. It's like the healing effects that us as men being more present, you know, I'm hearing you there. The genius that I'm hearing is, you know, your capacity to be consistently present and radically safe with your queen is allowing, you know, more of the unspoken, you know, call them wounds or parts of your being and parts of your queen's being come into space and, you know, effectively heal, soften, just when both nervous systems are allowed to be at one and in a radically safe manner. Well, that by definition is a healing environment, which I love, you know, the part of this, and I mean this, I feel this is the potent power for me, Sav, of inviting like a powerful man like you in, is said with respect, you're a regular dude. You know, guys listening in, it's like, you know, Sav, what work do you do? You're a carpenter, isn't it?
Carpenter, yeah.
And I say this, it's like, beautiful work, amazing work, but you didn't fucking learn anything about, you know, emotions and, you know, psychology in carpentry. It's like deep open heart sharing and intimacy. You know, it's like me in physiotherapy. I mean, we didn't learn this stuff. So, and yet guys listening in, it's like you're hearing the level in just 4 months where a regular guy like yourself, who's a carpenter by trade, so you can't hide behind, yeah, well, it's okay for Sav, you know, it's like, you know, he's been fucking studying as a psychotherapist for 40 years and yeah, he had a couple of issues in his marriage, but it's just all coming together. It's okay for him. You're talking about a man who has mastered the craft of carpentry. That's what Sav does. And yet what you're hearing is how a regular man with intentionality and with a willingness to show up, there's levels of depth that can come in. I don't think it's missed by guys listening in, Sav, but it's just a profoundly beautiful unfoldment. What you've been managing to do, it is just, it's an honor and privilege to just get to witness your process, man, of how far you've come in such a exceptionally short period of time. Yeah, it's just an honor and a privilege, man, to have to witness that and to hear your story in an unfiltered manner, in a complete manner for this conversation, man. It's been really beautiful to share time with you, as always, have.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate the leadership and the container that's available to us.
Sav, with guys listening in, you know, they have the love, they have their version of the immense love, the immense intention to be a better husband, to be a better communicator, be a better lover, to be able to, you know, communicate and be present, et cetera, et cetera. But many of them could be still, you know, from those old protective fears, those old protective patterns of, yeah, it seems like a good idea, but what open-hearted advice, like imagining like you're talking with a bunch of guys in the room and the guys are sharing, they're wondering like, Sav, what advice have you for me? You know, like what words would you have to the guys that are still holding on to the lone wolfing? And they're just, they don't know, maybe they don't know why, but there's an inhibition to reach out and join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. What words would you have for those men?
I think I'll take some words from Delphi. It's, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And this space, it's not easy. None of it's easy. But if there's anything you ever did that's going to create ripples and tidal waves in your life, it's doing something like this. Like, I couldn't express that more. Like, I think that's what got me over the line to get over my fear to speak to you today, Mark, was that realization that if one man listening into this today could connect with it, make that call and get on board with this or any other thing, really, it doesn't have to be Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. It can be anything. But if one man could make that internal choice and make a courageous move to step into something like this, the ripples that are created in everyone's life, you know, like it's something that I am just so grateful that I came in contact with, and it's something that has just, it's the ripples for me are just going off in every direction, you know, not just with my wife, like my connection with my two daughters has probably been the other greatest thing that's happened in the, yeah, it's, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
It's phenomenal. On the side, and just within the container of time, we didn't have much time to speak about the parenting, but to let the guys listening in know, it's like Sav has been, you know, it's like has become like a leading light, not just in how he's showing up in marriage, but like literally, Sav, you remember there, it was, I think it was the last meeting or the second last meeting that you had with the guys, like there was two of the guys, if several of the guys were in tears of a share that Sav was speaking about parenting, about using this work to hold presence for one of your beautiful daughters and just the impact that was having. So we mightn't have the time to go into it, but just to honor you, man, now that you're on live, it's what you have been doing is of such importance for your queen, for your kids. And yeah, I love your idea of just those ripple effects, tsunamis of ripples of love going out that are undoubtedly of massive benefit for anybody listening in on multiple levels. Sav, this conversation for me, I want to be open with you, is like that. Be at one with what's life for me. You know, this conversation with you is like, has been like an immense event in my life. I've been dedicating myself to this for a number of years, but I've always had this vision of guys that in the men's circles I would create, that, you know, those men would come on and would be the leaders. You know, it's like a great leader creates leaders, not followers. And you have, as it happens, has been the first guy from that's going to be a wave of men coming in over the, you know, the weeks, months and years ahead to be the leader, to be the first marriage transforming hero from Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. And man, if this is anything to go by, like the vision is going to unfold. It's been an honor and a privilege and such a delightful experience for me in my inner world to go and just listen how you've been taking this work. I see it every single week you show up, hence the invite. But just to have this time myself to go, wow, you know, 80 minutes, 90 minutes with you to really hear the depth and breadth of the benefits that you're bringing from this work, from all your courage. As you say, it's not easy, you know, but you have to attack it. But that the benefits are going as deep and as broad as they are, man. So happy. And thank you for coming on. Thank you for having the leadership and breaking the mold, setting down that path for many, many, many other men to follow in your courageous steps afterwards, man. Thanks for having the courage. And whoop, whoop, this is your first podcast, man. Fucking epic, epic victory.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Kingly Brothers, Heroic Husbands listening in. I mean, the gauntlet in many ways is set by Sav. You've heard his fears, the doubts, the inner world challenges, but you've also witnessed vicariously how, you know, a regular guy with it, like what we might call, you know, a regular job with a regular background does irregular work and starts enjoying in a very, very short period of time, irregularly beautiful, amazing, potent benefits in his inner world, in his marriage that he can appreciate, emotionalize, and just brings him to life. But obviously with massive importance, his queen is feeling safe, and there's just this healing upward spiral that makes it turns marriage from, you know, a game of limit, a game of defensiveness, a game of where there's great intentions, but hey, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It takes good intentions, but it creates something tangible and deeply meaningful for, you know, yourself, for your queen, for your kids, and the seven generations coming after. This is everything about what we do in Heroic Husbands Men's Circle. So yeah, the challenge is lone wolfing is not a badge of honor. To use Sav's, and I hope I'm phrasing it right, Sav's queen's wisdom, like nothing leads to nothing. No change leads to no change. It takes 10 seconds of insane courage to reach out, to make that call. There's going to be one opening only in the coming 3 months. That's happening really, really soon. So if you hear this, follow that impulse, follow in the footsteps of incredible men like Sav to start enjoying the massive benefits in love and intimacy and parenting in your whole inner world and outer world that you deserve, man. You deserve, your queen deserves, your kids and seven generations after you deserve. In perfect alignment with the mantra of our movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Heads up, kings! Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until November 3rd. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.